How many folks here this morning come from some place that is much warmer than the Netherlands usually is? Oh, yeah. So that heat wave last month, that was nothing, right? Okay, just to see how many folks have actually really experienced heat, how many have been to Lifestream Camp? Okay, so this helps me understand where we're at this morning. The kind of heat that just now thinking about it, just you can almost feel it, right? When you start thinking about what it was like to be engulfed in that kind of heat. When you stand outside and you're just uncomfortable from the minute you step out of the air conditioning and into that kind of heat, it is uncomfortable the entire time through, right? No matter where you go, you can't get away from it. It's honestly, to give it a little bit of, it's kind of impressive, that kind of heat. Not that I like it, but it's impressive. It completely has the ability to overwhelm us, and there's just no choice that we have but to let that kind of heat envelop us, overwhelm us. There is no escape. We're caught up in the middle of it, and really, one of our only defenses is sort of to embrace it. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought in mind. We're going to go a different direction for a little bit, but we're going to come back to that thought. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke 13. It's the story of the bent-over woman. And isn't that an interesting way to be identified? She has no other name that we know of. History has named her, judged her, labeled her by her appearance, by what's wrong with her, by her situation. It's the Sabbath, the holy day. The Jewish people have congregated in the synagogue, their place of meeting that Jesus is teaching. As a first century synagogue, men would be in the front, women would be in the back, and somehow Jesus notices a woman who slips in late. He notices a woman who, in the original text, is called bent over double. She's quietly making her way towards her seat, cane in one hand, head towards the ground. She's probably used to slipping in late, hoping to go unnoticed. She's been living this way for the past 18 years, slumped, bent, hunched. Can you imagine? Imagine just for a second what happens when you live life for 18 years looking at the ground. You can be sure that you miss a whole lot that's going on all around you. But the bent over woman, the text says, was crippled by a spirit, bent over and unable to stand up straight at all. Now, that tells me something. There was probably a time in this woman's life when she wasn't bent over, when she could look people in the eye. There was a time in this life, in her life, when this woman was stronger, maybe even healthy, but something has happened to her. Whatever it was, she could not leave it behind. It may have been an illness, but I really don't think that that's... I totally believe Jesus could have instantly healed her of her illness, but I really don't think that's what the text is getting at here. It's more than just a physical illness that has gripped her, a physical condition. When the text says crippled by a spirit, that to me says there's something that has gotten a hold of this woman. Somebody who has been crippled by a spirit, something has happened to them in such a way that there is a power over you that has taken control of your life, and that something is causing you to live in a crippled state, a less than state, making allowances for and making choices now because of that state. And it's so powerful that this dictates your actions, how you speak, where and when you go, how you act, how you think of yourself, how you think of others. And when a spirit has crippled you, you have succumbed, willing or not, to the power of that spirit. It can take everything from you. Now, the text doesn't tell us what it is. What spirit has crippled this woman? As curious beings, though, We want to ask ourselves, right? What could this have been? What might that have been? What psychological, social, what spiritual crisis could have led this woman to live bent over for nearly two decades? I read of a minister who actually gathered up a focus group of women from his church to ask them this question. What might have brought this woman to this particular condition, this situation? Well, in this focus group, one woman answered, "What bent her over? Her children. 18 years is the minimum sentence." I had a friend who reported once that he was 6'5" tall with coal black hair when he first started having children, and by the time his last one graduated, he was 5'5" tall with gray hair. Raising children, I should have translated that one, sorry, centimeters. He got a lot shorter over time. How about that? Raising children can wear you down and bend us over. Another woman in that church focus group said, "I'll tell you what bent her double. It was her husband. She got that way from following him around the house, picking up after him." Still another woman suggested the woman manifested the results of an unjust society, the burden of being paid only half as much work for the same job as a man. Of course, the woman might have been bent over by some other affliction other than those that are particular to women. Jesus encountered the woman in the synagogue. Perhaps this woman had a special reason to go to worship, for so often churches and synagogues function as a collection depot. People come to unload the accumulated burdens of guilt, stress, and life. But let's press this idea just a little bit further and see if we can find some sort of intersection ourselves with this woman's situation. Maybe this woman's been stealing from the office. You know, it started a few years ago when she just borrowed a few dollars to help her make it through the end of the week. Nobody seemed to notice, so she did it again and again and again. And finally she decided, you know, what happens if I don't repay this? And she successfully got away with it for a little while. She took more and more, and now she owes thousands. She's terrified, and it's only a matter of time before she's actually caught. And the worry and the fear have her bent over. Maybe she's having an affair with the man who lives next door. It started innocently enough. I mean, it was just a little simple flirting and some talking while her husband was away. And one thing led to another, and then day by day, the weight of the guilt accumulated until the burden got her bent over. Maybe it's someone else's problem that weighs heavily on her. Maybe the woman is bent over from the weight of her drinking problem. Or maybe the woman has a husband who's been beating her and the kids and sleeping off his benders on the sidewalks of his Galilean village. For addictions bent people over 2,000 years ago just as they do today. And it can be anything from drugs or alcohol to gambling to food to compulsive shopping and spending, sexual addictions, judging others, gossiping. Pick your poison. But every time that our behaviors begin to accommodate our addiction, we have been crippled by the spirit of that addiction. Maybe the woman's bent over by something, some problem for which she has no control. Perhaps she's just incredibly poor, for abject poverty is a burden capable of bending one double. In Jesus' time, the poor were absolutely legion. Maybe the burden of poverty has bent her over. Good news for her is that Jesus has compassion on the down and out. On the other hand, Jesus also loved the up and in, as well as those down and out. Jesus was a friend to both the rich and the poor, and maybe this woman's problem wasn't poverty at all. Maybe it was her incredible riches. Perhaps she has too much money, and she's worried excessively that someone is going to steal it all from her. And maybe she's worn out by buying and cleaning and polishing and insuring and storing up all of her stuff. It could be that something has happened to her. As a child or as an adult, human beings can do unspeakable things to one another, especially to those that we perceive as weak. She may have experienced something that's been so traumatic that it leaves her unable to move on. It could be some type of abuse or mistreatment that had been going on perhaps daily. She could have been living in a relationship or a home that was incredibly unhealthy, and her ability to stand up straight has been taken away from her over time. Some of you have heard a little bit of our own story that I've been in the Air Force for only about 5 years now. And before that, I was a missionary out in Western Alaska, or in Alaska in the United States for many years. And as a missionary, I would travel out to villages. And one of the villages that I got to spend a lot of time in is Hooper Bay, Alaska. It is right on the edge of the earth. The next stop is Russia, big Bering Sea in between. And I'm not the kind of person that talks in language of, you know, there's a demon around every corner and that sort of thing. That's not my normal vocabulary. That's not my normal lens of seeing things or whatever. But I be straight up with you, I would get off of an airplane and I would start walking into this village and I felt something different. I could feel something in my soul. There was something that is not right in that particular village. And one day when I was in this village, I encountered a gal, and I'll call her Alice, who was crippled by a spirit. I don't know how else to say this. This was a young lady. She was 18 years old. She had been crippled by a spirit. And as I got to know her and I got to know her family a little bit, it was in the process, we were actually starting a Bible college in Alaska. And I got a hold of my colleagues and said, this woman needs to be at our school this fall. She's got absolutely no money to pay for this, but we need to get her there. And we did. We decided that even though she'd be a complete no pay, we were going to get her out of her situation and into the school. Well, as her story began to unfold, what we learned was that starting at the age of 8, her parents gave her to Uncle Mike. She was his domestic slave, domestic servant, in every way, shape, and form for the next 10 years, living with Uncle Mike. This woman was bent over double. She had been crippled by a spirit because of the incredible horror that she had been enduring for the past decade. And it was only through the light of biblical counseling, healing prayer, through the teaching and instruction of God's word that this woman began to see that there was hope in her life and that she could stand up straight eventually and see the light that Jesus provided in her life. But this young lady was living in a nightmare. Her life was enveloped in darkness. And frankly, we don't know. We don't know what it was, the psychological, social, spiritual cause that had bent the lady of Luke 13 over. All we know is that it was severe and that it had lasted for years. For 18 years, she has had a very unpleasant perspective on life. She has been walking around life looking at passing feet. And understand, please, once one is under the power of that spirit, it can seem like there's absolutely no way out. It is like the heat wave that we were talking about earlier. It seems like there is absolutely no way of getting away from it as it just simply comes and envelops you. It surrounds you, and you can get to a point where it just absolutely threatens to overwhelm you. And after trying to stand up against it for so long and only to fail again and again, you can feel like your only defense is just to embrace it, and worse, to accept it. This is just who I am now. And you begin to identify yourself. In fact, you begin to let what others are saying about you also come to identify you, right? Oh yeah, he's just that fat one. Oh, she's a workaholic. Oh, he's a drunk. Oh, she's a gossip, you know. He's the guy who lost his wife because of pornography. Oh, she's been abused. He's got a bad marriage. She's neurotic. He's a self-centered narcissist. Whatever the label might be, boy, do those labels start to stick. And once we internalize our own labels, we quickly learn to become ashamed of them. And that's common in our only the strong survive or take care of yourself, figure it out society. But a life lived in shame is not easy to navigate. We spend our lives with a cane in our hands, slipping in late, making our way back the back corner of the room, hunched over, because we can't stand to look anyone in the eye. We can't stand to look ourselves in the eye. And our mantra becomes, keep your head down. This is the bent over woman of Luke 13. She is everyone who has ever struggled to rise over the pain of oppression, low self-worth, and judgment of others. She is everyone who has struggled with illness and addictions and losses of value, loss of spouse, loss of self-esteem, and loss of innocence. She is anyone who has lived in a situation that is intolerable, and she is anyone who has been told you can't and believed it. She is anyone who has lost hope. And she makes her way to her seat on that balmy Sabbath morning, and Jesus calls her. And he doesn't just shout, hey, you crippled lady in the back row. Hey, Quasimodo, I'm talking to you. No. He doesn't give her any label that anyone else used to identify her. No. He called her in a way that only she knew. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, she knew that Jesus was talking to her. That morning, Jesus used an identification that was unique to her, a name, if you will. Jesus called her. And hearing her name speaks something inside of her. She recalls who she was before. Hearing her name, she thinks, I remember her. I remember my life before I took on the name of shame. I remember my life before I wore the label of addiction. I remember my life when people looked me in the eye and when I looked myself in the eye. I remember life before it came and took me over. Hearing her name is like a cool breeze in the midst of that heat wave, and it just starts to wash over her in delight, and it gives her the strength to make her way to the source of all wind and all breath. It gives her strength amidst and despite the thunderous whispers and the bolts of judgment that are coming at her from every angle as she walks forward, from everyone that knew her and knew all about her. And when she arrives in the eye of the storm, that place of peace that one finds at the feet of Jesus, she hears, woman, you are free from your ailment. Woman, you are free from your oppression. You are free from judgment. You are free from shame. Woman, you are no longer under the power of this thing that has controlled you for so long. You are free to be who you are and not who others tell you to be. You are free to live in the grace and the mercy of the one who loves and cares for and knows everything that you have ever experienced. You are free to love yourselves, accept yourself, not with resignation, but with affirmation. For you are precious, you are cherished, you are adored. And Jesus lays her hands on her, and immediately she stood up straight. And she began to praise God. The room held its breath. It was a miracle. And the story would be really awesome if it kind of just ended there. But the text goes on to tell us about some folks who just were not happy with this situation. Sometimes, perhaps you're like this, I am. We don't like things that we can't explain. It makes us feel a little helpless. We feel out of control, vulnerable, unable to define or dissect what we just saw take place before our eyes. So the leader of the synagogue, he does what maybe some of us might do in a situation like that. He looked at the faces of the amazed people and the questions that he could not answer, and not knowing what else to say, he deferred to the rules. This is not the right day for healing. We only do this kind of thing during the week. Not on the Sabbath. Now, I don't know how many of you play Monopoly. Some of you play Monopoly, maybe. How many of you put $500 at free parking? If you land on free parking, you get free money. Do you guys do that? Do you know that's not in the rules? Okay, if you were to play Monopoly with the synagogue leader, he would be the guy that would be playing by the rules. Notice that he didn't deny the power of Christ. He didn't deny the healing. He didn't deny that this woman had been made brand new right in front of everybody's eyes. And a lot of time, I think that's kind of what it's like for us. We understand, in theory, we believe, we say we believe, that God can do anything. We don't deny that the power is in here in the room. We profess Jesus can take away our sorrow and he can heal all of our wounds, but we sometimes want Jesus to do it kind of within the framework that we can explain, or in the framework that's a little more comfortable to us, or in the timeline that we've established, in ways that maybe aren't threatening to us, that aren't scary or risky. We kind of want a safe healing, Jesus, I think. But here's how Jesus responds. He calls the leader of the synagogue a hypocrite, the H word. And then he turns to the woman and he calls her what? Daughter. He looks at the crowd with their mouths still wide open, and he lovingly reminds them that this woman, who is one of them, who has been made to feel less than for all of those years, is every bit as much a part of that synagogue as the leader of the synagogue. He reminds them that the family of God is not about shaming people into community or marginalizing those who struggle. The community of God is about helping bring every person into the center, which is Christ. Now, this morning, I don't know what it is that might have brought you to church, bent over in a metaphorical sense this morning. What may or may not have a hold on you, or how far into the margins you might be feeling, I don't know what it is today that you are struggling with, or what it is in your life that keeps you in the state that you're in. Perhaps something that has claimed a power over your life. I don't know the name that you have come to know yourself by, or what label it is that you might be wearing today. But I do know this. We all, to some extent, live bent double. And it may or may not be in the form of a debilitating physical condition. In fact, most often, no one may be able to see that you're bent over at all. We're really good at hiding it. We've gotten really good at hiding it. But Jesus does know it. He has seen you in the back of the room with your cane. He has seen you slip in at that last minute, hoping that nobody notices. At this moment, he is calling to you. Stand up straight. He's not calling like a gentle, cool breeze. I really believe that he is calling us with a prevailing and a pervasive, a fire of grace and mercy and truth. I believe that Jesus is calling to each and every single one of us, stand up straight today. Don't put it off. Don't keep continuing in this pattern. Today, stand up straight. Stand up straight. It's only in Jesus, the one who can free us from whatever it is that has us bent over double. When Jesus calls you, to the you inside, to the you from before, to the you that he created, what he offers us is life. Life that is rich and full and free. And we don't have to live bent over to anything or anyone or any label ever again. Because the one who knows the truth about you sees it all, and he still calls you daughter. The one who loves you exactly the way you are as his son still calls you his son. What a mighty God we serve. Amen? I know that the temptation is to turn a deaf ear to think, that word beloved, that doesn't really apply to me. Well, it does. That is exactly what he wants you to hear, that you are his beloved. He is calling you this morning. Final thing I want you to think about. When Jesus addresses the crowd, do you know what he calls the Spirit? has kept this woman crippled for all those years. He says this woman has been bound by Satan for 18 years. Now, Satan, in the language that was used here in Luke, doesn't mean the little guy in the red suit with the pitchfork. You know that. I think you probably know that. This is the accuser. This is the accuser, Satan. Jesus knows that the accuser won't be pleased by your newfound freedom. He's not pleased by the freedom this woman was experiencing. And every single time that you seek to put Christ first in your life, every time that you seek to repent of your sins and to start walking with Christ anew, you're going to be visited by the accuser, who just loves to remind you of your past. And it's true that we have an adversary who is absolutely relentless in reminding us of all that has taken place, and he savors an opportunity to bend us right back over and to once again have us looking at feet. But friends, we know the truth of Scripture. We know that he who is in you is greater than he is in this world. We do know, Jesus teaches us, that in this world we will have much trouble, but Jesus has overcome this world. We know that through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have victory in him. Around the sanctuary this morning, there may be many things that have us bent over. It could be that we are struggling under the weight of an addiction. Know that through the resurrection of Jesus, he provides a way to stand up straight. Are you feeling bent over this morning by the pressures of an unrelenting tempo at work? Incredible stresses happening all over your life. Jesus provides an opportunity for you to stand up straight. Are you experiencing too much month left at the end of your paycheck? Jesus encourages you to stand up straight. Are you bent over from bitterness and unresolved anger, pain, and heartache? Jesus says, stand up straight, child. Are you bent over from the wounds of an unfaithful spouse? Jesus provides a way today for you to stand up straight. Perhaps it's the stresses of a wayward child that has you bent over. Jesus says, come to me and stand up straight. Church, no matter what it is that you have walked through those doors with this morning, that in some way, shape, or form has you bent over, has you incapable of living out the life that Christ really desires for you to live and for you to experience, Jesus provides a way today for you to stand up straight. The truth is, there is an accuser in our world, and he doesn't like losing. But Jesus has overcome all of his lies, all of his accusations, and Jesus owns the victory. When we walk with Jesus, he leads us in that same victory, and this is the good news of the gospel. We have victory. In Jesus, we can stand up straight. Brothers and sisters, I admonish you in the strong name of our risen Christ, stand up straight. And walk with him. Let me pray for you. God, you always see more than we are able or willing to reveal. In your loving gaze, would you heal us? Would you free us from the forces that are bringing us downward? May we experience the touch of your presence, and may we be raised to find the delight that you share in your people. Teach us to see that by entering into the risks of human life, we find your presence and those who yearn to be made well. Make us into a community that unleashes your healing power to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.